The airline that doesn't like the American government subsidizing airplanes.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. A big chunk of private sector infrastructure opens at New York's JFK Airport today. It's the new Delta Airlines terminal, $1.6 billion worth of lounge, gates, and new ways to contemplate your navel waiting to check in at security. Delta recently picked an interesting fight with the federal government. Delta thinks America's import-export bank should stop subsidizing foreign airlines when they buy wide-bodied Boeing jets. I sat down with Delta's chief executive officer, Richard Anderson, to talk about this and other matters.
Well, U.S. carriers do not receive the subsidy. And the subsidy takes the form of financing. So Delta's foreign-owned competitors, most of which are government airlines, my government finances them to compete against Delta with submarket financing on the United States government balance sheet.
And you don't like that?
Well, it just doesn't seem like my government should be financing my competitors who are owned and operated by large governments overseas.
But if you got rid of it, it might not produce a level playing field, because I guarantee if we got Boeing on the phone right now, they would say correctly that the Europeans subsidize the purchases of Airbus planes.
It's interesting. As you might guess, Delta operates a very large fleet of Airbus airplanes and a very large fleet of Boeing airplanes. I talked to the leadership of Boeing and I talked to the leadership of Airbus. And oddly enough, Airbus says if Boeing doesn't get it, they won't take it. And Boeing says if Airbus doesn't get it, they won't take it. So I think they've both stated a position that the only reason they accept ECA financing is because the other receives it, except unilaterally, I believe we can disarm on this and have the private marketplace step in readily, particularly given as low as interest rates are right now and as liquid as markets are.
Moving on here, it's my understanding that Delta prefers sometimes the older planes. In air travel, you'd think the newest tech would be the best.
The best example or the best notion of how to explain this is that we think a mix of airplanes is appropriate when you're operating the airline for a return on invested capital. From a passenger perspective, we run the most on-time, highest completion factor, all-around best airline in the world. And so when you think about it from a technology perspective to your technology point, just think of it this way. The President of the United States flies around on some of the oldest aviation technology in the world. That technology was invented in the 60s, 70s.
I was nine when the first one came out, I think.
Correct. The launch on the 74-100 was 1970.
1970. All right. I had just turned 10.
Okay. So you just turned 10. I had just turned 15, although I'd never been on an airplane before in my life at that point. But my point is that the new technology, we have a lot of new technology airplanes, but we also have a very good mix of airplanes, both mature fleet and new fleet.
Did you say earlier that you hadn't been on an airplane by the time you were 15 years old?
I had not.
Just
no.
Family didn't travel that much at that stage?
No, my parents didn't. You know, we were the first generation that went to college. We lived in Amarillo, Texas. And, you know, it wasn't until I think I was probably 18 or 19 that I got on an airplane for the first time, a DC-9 flown by Trans-Texas Airways from Amarillo, Texas to Houston, Texas.
Mr. Anderson, thank you. Delta CEO Richard Anderson at Marketplace.org. You can listen to the Delta CEO's rejoinder when I hassled him about add-on baggage fees. Disclosure, Delta is among the underwriters of this program. Now let's do the numbers. In Japan, the Nikkei Index went up 0.9%, recovering a piece of its more than 7% drop the day before. The FTSE 100 in London is currently down 0.6%. The yield on the 10-year note is down a sliver in the U.S., but still above 2%. Thursday, the Dow ended down just 12 points. Stock index futures in the U.S. are trending downward right now.
Mark. Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
California's unveiled the prices of health insurance to be sold on a state-run exchange starting next year, a key part of the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. The exchange is designed to give more people access to insurance, but as Stan Alcorn reports, there's still an affordability issue.
The fear was that a state-run market for health insurance would mean sky-high premiums for consumers. The reality?
An array of choice and what appear to be pretty competitive prices.
That's Marion Mulkey of the California Healthcare Foundation. Costs vary, but the average premium offered by the 13 insurers comes to $321 a month for an individual. If insurance companies lose money at those prices, it could undermine the new system, according to Alan Weil of the National Academy for State Health Policy.
Then the next year, they don't want to play or they radically increase their rates.
But Mulkey says you can expect healthcare costs to continue to rise even if state exchanges succeed.
It's probably too big a task to think that they're going to be able to really turn the tide.
For 2014, Blue Shield of California predicts an average premium hike of up to 13%. It was about 12% this year. I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
And it's such a fun word to say, Reinheitsgebot, the German beer purity law from the 16th century. The Association of German Breweries is worried that newer techniques to pull oil and gas from the ground could jeopardize the purity of the groundwater that goes into beer and could violate the Reinheitsgebot. At issue is hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, that involves injecting chemicals into the ground to release fossil fuels. It's controversial in Germany as it is in the U.S. Europe's energy commissioner says it's important to keep fracking open as a possibility across Europe. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.